I'm thankful for this beautiful day, and I'm thankful for everyone that's here, congregation, visitors. Appreciate each one being here today. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there and heard the preaching of Jesus? I would have loved that opportunity. Well, what was it that Jesus preached? In verse 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And then Jesus went on and he preached what I call the foundation message of the kingdom of God. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. Let's read in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus was laying the foundation for the kingdom of heaven, and he was describing the characteristics of those who would be a part of his kingdom. Notice he said, "Blessed are the poor, the mournful, the meek, the hungry, merciful, the pure, the peacemakers, the persecuted." Maybe those people don't sound like they're very blessed, but Jesus pronounced a blessing on them. These descriptions are descriptions of people that will make up his kingdom. And I think it does us well to go back and look at, what does it really mean to be in the kingdom of God? What kind of characteristics will I have in my life? What are the fruits of my life if I'm a part of the kingdom? He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Nowhere in this list do I find blessed are the rich, the reveling, the proud, those who are full, those who are unmerciful, those who are impure, the warmongers, or the persecutors. Those are not the folks upon which Jesus pronounced a blessing. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we can read further about the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now, what kind of people normally inherit a kingdom? Perhaps it's the people who are aggressive, the people who are fierce, the best fighters. But Jesus came preaching a different kingdom. He came and laid the foundation for what the kingdom of heaven was. And it is not composed of those who are fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. But Jesus described those who were poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is to recognize our need before God. Back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To recognize our need before God. Psalms chapter 70 and verse 5. Psalm 70 and 5. I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God, for thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. This is a psalm of David. David was a man of war. He was the king of Israel. And I don't know if he was the king at the time he wrote this psalm, but here was a man that recognized, I am poor and needy. This is the type of attitude we must have if we are to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Psalms chapter 86. Psalms 86 and verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The song says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. Do you feel a real need for the Lord today? Do you feel in your spirit, without the Lord, I am poor, I am bankrupt, I have nothing within myself? Lord, I need you. Do you feel a need of the Lord to guide you in life, to provide for you daily? Or are you rich in your spirit? Are you saying, I have need of nothing? I believe we need the Lord very much. To be poor in spirit is not only to recognize our need of God. But I believe it's to recognize our need before our fellow man. A proud man says, I don't need you. And perhaps has the attitude, you are disposable. But the man that is poor in spirit says, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your friendship. I need your help in life. That is the attitude of somebody who is poor in spirit. I need your friendship. I value you, a poor spirit. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. If we get poor enough in our spirit, we're going to be willing to beg, aren't we? We're going to be willing to beg to God to help us, to recognize I have a real need, and ask God to fill that need in our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need you. I don't have enough bread stored up. I don't have enough strength in myself. I can't make it in life without you. Bless are the poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. This is back at Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they which are disadvantaged in life. Did you know that life is not fair? And there are people that we see that are crippled. There are people that live in desperate poverty. There are people that have hardships that come their way in life. Life just is not fair. Jesus pronounced a blessing on those that mourn. I want to say, blessed are they which are disadvantaged in life and yet have the right attitude about it. The ones that are seeking the Lord, the ones that have not become bitter. He didn't say, blessed are they that mourn and riot and protest because of it. We see too much of that in our world today. That's not where the blessing is. The blessing is in those that mourn and have the right attitude. I believe that God has a special kindness toward those that are disadvantaged, toward those who are physically handicapped, those who are emotionally scarred, those that are the fatherless, the widows. God has a special kindness toward those people, and I believe we should have the same. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16. The last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Life is not fair. Things are going to happen to us, and maybe those things will make us mourn. Maybe we'll feel disadvantaged. But the Lord has a way of turning all those things around and letting the first be last and the last first. You remember Abraham speaking to the rich man who was begging for a drop of water in hell. The statement was, son, in your life you had your good things. There are people that are having their good things right now. But that's not where the blessing is. The blessing is when we have a disadvantage, when hardship comes our way, and yet we're willing to put our trust in the Lord. We're willing to be poor in spirit and ask the Lord for His help. Then we will be comforted. Luke chapter 6 and verse 24. Luke chapter 6 and verse 24. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But there is a blessing to those that have received their difficult times in this life. May God help us not to focus on the injustice that is done to us, but instead to recognize there is someone who has pronounced a blessing. That if I go through life right, if I will serve Him, if I'll have that poverty of my spirit, the Lord will bless me. Mr. Sharp was a weaver in Bristol, England. He was put on trial, but he denied that the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper were the literal body and blood of Christ. This was during the time of intense Catholic persecution to those that they claimed were heretics back in the Dark Ages. Mr. Sharp denied the Catholic teaching that during the Lord's Supper, the bread turned into the actual body of Jesus Christ and the wine actually became His blood. He was found guilty at the trial, this heretic, and he was condemned to be burned to death. And on May 7th, 1558, he became a martyr, burned to death. I want to tell you, blessed are those that mourn. If we're willing to suffer for the Lord, if we're willing to accept the things in life that come our way and get victory over it and have the right attitude, there is a real blessing. Back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Matthew 5 and 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I thought it was the aggressive people that were the ones that won the kingdoms. The ones that came out on top, the fittest survive. But Jesus pronounced a blessing on the meek. I want to read you what someone wrote about being meek. Meek, by the way, is a mild disposition, of a gentle spirit. In the Old Testament, the meek are those who wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend themselves against injustice. Thus, meekness toward evil people means knowing God is permitting the injuries they inflict, and that He is using them to purify His elect, and that He will deliver His elect in His time. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. As Americans, we're taught to be rugged individualists. We're taught to stand up for our own rights. That's the opposite of meekness, isn't it? Meekness stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all. This is a work of the Holy Spirit and not of the human will. I find this description of meekness to be very challenging, and I want to confess to you, I need help in this area. A meek person is not one that defends themselves against injustice, but someone who recognizes God is working something in this. Maybe there's some good somewhere that I need to get. God, help us all. This is some strong meat, isn't it? When Jesus taught and preached the Sermon on the Mount, He gave some fundamentals of this is what the kingdom of heaven's about. Some principles that we need to learn and implement in our own lives. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They are the ones that are going to be the overcomers, the winners. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Psalms 42 and verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. A deep hunger, a deep desire. I must have it satisfied. Lord, I need you so badly. I want you, Lord God. I will fast. I will pray. I will deny myself. I will do whatever it takes. I must have you in life, Lord. There is a blessing for those which hunger and thirst after righteousness. I remember as a young man, I went to the altar many times. And I feared that maybe somehow I just can't please the Lord. I'm not going to be able to make it. But I got a hold of this scripture, that there is a blessing pronounced on those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the promise is, they shall be filled. The Lord will grant that. He'll fulfill that hungering of our hearts. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to do right. Help me, Lord. The Lord will satisfy that hunger. Back to the scripture that says, blessed are the meek. I thought of the scripture, Matthew 11 and 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. There is a blessing from being meek. You know, there are a lot of people out there today that are missing soul rest. They're stirred up inside. They're full of anger. They're dissatisfied. They're craving something, and they can't find it anywhere. I want to tell you, there is a blessing from being meek. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He didn't come teaching fierceness and revenge and hatred and racial strife and covetousness and jealousy. But he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. A meek person is one that doesn't take revenge. There's a blessing here that I hope we can all get a hold of. Matthew 5 and 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Have you ever needed mercy? Have you ever been glad when someone showed you some mercy and maybe you didn't deserve it? Jesus was laying the foundation for the kingdom of heaven. And he was preaching to people who were oppressed by the Romans. Now the Romans were known for their cruelty. They would have public executions. And part of the reason for the public execution was to instill fear in other people so they wouldn't commit the same crimes. But there was a deeper motivation than that. The Romans enjoyed watching suffering. They were unmerciful. In fact, in the Colosseum, as the gladiators were fighting to death, privileged guests in the Colosseum could come down and get a close-up view to better enjoy the suffering of the dying. This is how perverse their hearts were. They were a cruel people. They were unmerciful. And they would ask when someone was wounded in the gladiator fight about sparing the life or letting the person go. And if the crowd would put thumbs up, that meant spare his life. If their thumbs went down, that meant no mercy. And to the people that were oppressed by the Roman cruelty, Jesus came teaching a foundation doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. There is a blessing to those that are merciful. It would have been hard to show mercy to a Roman soldier, wouldn't it? Occupying your country, doing you injustice, oppressive taxes, and to show that person mercy? It's no wonder that sometimes the crowd's reaction was, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" But I want to tell you, that's where the blessing is. When we can show people mercy that don't deserve it. People who are not merciful to other people. People that deserve some punishment. And we show them mercy. That's powerful. That is the kingdom of heaven. That is one of the marks of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. When we have the opportunity to exact revenge on someone else, and we choose not to do it. When we have the decision to make, shall I forgive or shall I not forgive? And we decide to forgive, that's where the blessing is. The blessing is not in holding a grudge, but it is in those who are merciful. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. The merciful are fulfilling the golden rule. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Let me ask you, do you want people to show you mercy when you don't deserve it? When you're incapable of fixing the problem that you caused, do you want mercy? Then go and do likewise. Do you appreciate the mercy that the Lord has shown you in your life to save you from sin, to save you from eternal punishment? Then go and do likewise to other people. When someone needs forgiveness, the person that has done you wrong, go and do likewise. There's a blessing and being merciful. Matthew 5 and 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now the heart is the seat of our affections. The heart is who we really are. When we get down into the heart, now we know an individual. And Jesus pronounced a blessing on those that were pure down in the very heart. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If our hearts are double-minded, if our hearts are reaching out to the world, to sinful pleasures, and yet reaching toward Christ, we're going to have instability there, aren't we? That is not a pure heart. We're going to have an unstable life. The heart is what motivates us to do what we do in life. What is it that we would do if all restraints were gone? If parents weren't there to give us instructions, if nobody knew, then what would we do? The heart has those answers. And there is a blessing to those that are pure in their hearts. The motivation that drives us in life, when those motivations are pure, let me tell you, there's a real blessing there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and 17, "Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth out into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." You ever wonder why you hear so much bad language out in the world today? Do you wonder why the songs, the popular songs of the world today, are so full of uncleanness? This is the answer right here. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. It's because people have impure hearts. The songwriters, those who are listening to and enjoying and partaking of those types of things, they have hearts that are impure. "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." God, help us to have pure hearts and not let all these fruits, these unclean fruits, come out of our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean to you? To me, that means they shall make it to heaven. I want to see God in peace, don't you? Think of the thief that said, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And the Lord granted that to him, told him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." I want to see God. I want to make it to heaven. Lord, remember me. Don't pass me by. Well, there's a blessing for having a pure heart, for having had those things washed, like we read in 1 Corinthians 6. "Some were such of you, but you are washed. You're sanctified." Blessed are the pure in heart. Matthew 5 and 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I believe our world needs more peacemakers today. There is a blessing for being a peacemaker. We have someone in our neighborhood who's been stirring up problems. He or she puts anonymous notes in neighborhood mailboxes, hateful notes, insulting notes, calls the police, gets the police involved. It's got a stir going in our neighborhood. Well, for the victims of that, what can we do? What if I start writing my own notes? I have a pretty good idea of who it is. And I could put a note on his door. What if I start calling the police on him? By the way, it's a federal offense to put something in a mailbox if you're not the mailman. We can get the law involved here. We can get this man in court. You know, the scripture says grievous words stir up anger. How would it bring peace to the neighborhood if I turned, I gave an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? We need more peace in our world today. This man, if you knew his life, I believe I know who it is. His wife left him. His daughter died. He needs peace in his own heart. How can I bring him peace with revenge? There is a blessing for being a peacemaker. There's a blessing to reaching out to people that are in need. Sometimes the people that give us the hardest times are the ones that need the help the worst. And we can't bring peace to our own hearts or peace to them
by taking revenge.
There's a blessing for being a peacemaker. I wouldn't want to miss out on that blessing. The joy that comes to see a hard heart melted down, to see people turn from their fighting, to see marriages healed, to see a sinner bow at an altar of prayer. Oh, the blessing. We get that by being a peacemaker, don't we? Not by picking a fight. Not by standing up for our rights. Not by correcting all of the world's injustices. I tell you, life is not fair. And people will do us wrong. Romans 12 and 21. Have you ever had anybody do you wrong? Here's a way to take care of that. Romans 12 and 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what happens when you return evil for evil? Evil begets more evil. It just starts multiplying. But there is a way to overcome evil. And that is with good. It's like fighting a fire. There's a way to make a fire worse. You can put gasoline on it. You can fan the flames. And that's what's going on in people's lives today. But when we overcome evil with good, that's like getting the water on the fire. And it puts it out. There's a blessing that comes with doing that. These are the marks of a person that is in the kingdom of heaven. These are the characteristics of people that are Christians. They are peacemakers. They seek for ways to return good for evil. Jesus taught some good foundation teaching when he introduced the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 and 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not blessed are they which are persecuted for their own faults or for the crimes they have committed. But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are the ones that are the inhabitants of the kingdom. They are the ones that will inherit eternal life. Those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In June of 2009, Asia Bibi, a young Christian mother of five, was laboring in a field in Pakistan, and a dispute broke out with some Muslim women. Asia was asked to fetch water, but the Muslim women, objected, saying that a non-Muslim was unfit to touch the water bowl. A few days later, Asia's accusers went to the local Muslim cleric and made blasphemy allegations. Pakistan has very severe blasphemy laws when it comes to Islam. Asia was sentenced to death row. Now, this is a mother of five children. She was sentenced to death row and has been there ever since 2009. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Here's what Asia had to say. I forgive my persecutors, those who have falsely accused me, and I await their forgiveness. This is powerful. This is a mark of those that are of the kingdom of heaven. This is the message that Jesus brought. This is the foundation of the kingdom of heaven. Those who forgive their persecutors, there is a blessing that the Lord has in store for her that man can't do by somehow creating justice, by taking revenge on those who falsely accused her. Man cannot bring about that same blessing. But there's a blessing waiting for this woman who's been missing out on the raising of her children. She said, I forgive my persecutors, those who have falsely accused me, and I await their forgiveness. Jesus made this happy day for me and has accepted my prayers. But although I have been in prison for 7 years, I do not hate those who did me wrong. Is this a challenge to you? Tell you what, somebody says a little something about me and that can hurt my feelings. This woman has been in prison for 7 years. And she has forgiven those that have done her wrong. I do not hate those who did me wrong. I pray that Jesus Christ will grant peace to the whole world. Jesus laid a foundation for the kingdom of heaven. And he gave us some pretty strong meats, some things that may be difficult for us. And really, without his help and his grace, they're impossible. It's not in carnal man to forgive the enemy, to be meek, to be poor in spirit, to be persecuted and to forgive. That's not natural. That's something that takes being in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to examine our own lives. I find these things a challenge to me. I see areas where I need to improve. Lord, help me. I confess that to you today. I need some help. I want to do better in my dealings with my fellow man. Lord, help us. I'd like to close with Matthew 13 and 41. Matthew 13 and 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Jesus came teaching and preaching the kingdom of heaven. He came and told us, this is what you have to do to be a part of my kingdom. These are the characteristics that will be in your life. There are folks that are professing the name of Jesus today, and they're not complying with the teachings of Jesus. They think that simply by professing his name, simply saying, I believe on the Lord Jesus, and I accept him as my Savior, that somehow that's going to grant them entrance. But the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. And I want to say all people that will not forgive other people. All people that are willing to treat their enemies with revenge. Those who refuse to be peacemakers in neighborhoods, in marriages, on the job, in school, wherever it may be. Those who refuse and instead look for ways to inflict a little frustration in their enemy. Lord, help us. I don't want my life to be an offense to the kingdom of heaven. I want my life to be an example. Jesus went on to say in the Sermon on the Mount, ye are the salt of the earth. See, we are the ones that are to show the world a better way. When our enemies inflict pain on us, we're to show them something better than that. We're to overcome that evil with good. God help us today. I want to be in his kingdom, don't you? Don't you want to say, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom? I want to be one. I want that to be in my life. I want the blessings that you spoke of. I want to be poor in spirit. I want to be a peacemaker. Other people fighting all around me, Lord, help me to be different somehow. I want to hunger and thirst after you, Lord. I want that. I want to tell you there's a blessing today. The Lord says, I'll fill that. All you have to do is hunger and thirst, and He'll fill that desire. May God bless you today.